Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now I'm joined in the studio by Michael McGrath, the EU Commissioner for Democracy, Justice, the Rule of Law and Consumer Protection. Good morning to you, Commissioner.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you for coming in. Just on the tariffs question, I mean, we have everybody from global leaders to investors just trying to understand the purpose of the tariffs announced this week. Are you in the EU clear as to why the United States has acted in this way? Because clearly we can't respond until we know what they want and what their aim is.
I think we can only be guided by what they have said publicly, which is a desire to bring more manufacturing back to the United States and also deal with an unfairness, as they would see it, in terms of trade, which we would have a fundamental disagreement with and a different view of. But I think that appears to be the motivation to try and bring more business back into the US and to improve the terms of trade.
What did you make of his chart where he said that, you know, the EU levies 39% on the US?
That particular chart and the figure that was ascribed to Europe is not credible. We don't have a basis for that particular figure. The actual level of tariffs imposed by the EU is very low. There are different ways of measuring it, but it's in the low single digits. If you take the actual trade between the EU and the US, the level of tariffs applied is about 1%, so it's exceptionally low. But the bigger picture here is that the EU and the US are each other's most important trade and investment partner. It's about 1.6 trillion euro in annual trade. Millions of jobs on both sides of the Atlantic are supported, and you need to have stable, consistent rules of engagement and rules of trade. Mm-hmm. And that is what has underpinned what has been an incredibly mutually beneficial relationship between the EU and the US, which we want to continue.
You said yourself, we listen to what they're saying. You know, Howard Lutnick in particular believes that the EU is putting barriers in the way of the United States trading here. Do you see his point on any level, even when it comes to non-tariff barriers?
We don't accept that narrative, because actually, when you look at the facts, and unfortunately facts are becoming the victim in some instances over the course of this debate, it's a broadly balanced trade relationship between the EU and the US. Yes, the EU has a surplus in goods. The US has a very significant surplus on services. The net surplus across the two in favour of the EU is less than 50 billion euro, mm-hmm. which in the context of 1.6 trillion euro a year is exceptionally low. So it's a very balanced overall trading relationship. And the European market of 450 million people has been extraordinarily positive and successful for many US companies across a whole range of different sectors. We are part of the largest single market in the world, and it's a market that has served the interests of US businesses very well. And we know that many of them are conveying that message as well to the US administration, because that is the factual position.
So if that is the case, and if we want to negotiate rather than retaliate, what do we have to negotiate with? What can we offer them?
Our preference is absolutely to negotiate. There should be substantive discussions, and it's good that Commissioner Shefcovic will have direct engagement today with Secretary Lutnick, so they will be able to discuss the state of play and hopefully begin a process where we have substantive, meaningful negotiations that lead to an outcome and a settlement. Mm-hmm.
But if there are no barriers, you know, and if we are very fair to them in terms of how they trade here, what grounds can we negotiate with them?
First of all, there are issues that need to be addressed in the global trading system. There are challenges around overcapacity in certain sectors. There are barrier to entries into certain markets, though not Europe. There are subsidies being provided by some jurisdictions. So there are unfair elements in the global trading system, but the EU is part of the solution. We're not part of the problem. But to bring it back to our response and how we deal with it from here, yes, we want to negotiate, but at the same time, we are preparing to respond because
You say we're not part of the problem, but I mean, Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach, said it this morning. They have a particular antipathy, and we saw that in recent statements. They really don't like the EU.
And that's a marked change from previous US administrations. And when you look at the mutually beneficial trading relationship, it has stood to both the EU and the United States over a long period of time. It has been at the heart, really, of globalization, of multilateralism, of the growth of the global economy. It's the most important trading relationship in the world. And what has happened in recent days drives a coach and forth through that. Mm-hmm. We have to understand what the motivation is. We have to understand what is the end game. How does all of this come to a conclusion with the minimum amount of damage? I think we can all see we're not going to be going back to the status quo that we had a few months ago. There will be change, but it needs to be negotiated change. And what we are doing now in practical terms is the first set of countermeasures will be ready for decision should we decide to put that to the member states, the council members next week. That deals with the steel and aluminium tariffs that were imposed by
the US recently. Step one.
Yeah, step one, which is actually quite modest overall.
Can you give us any indication as to what is in there? What will be put on the table?
We've been consulting with the member states, and essentially the proposal there is to match in overall value terms the value of goods subject to tariffs by the US, that we would match that on the EU side,
right.
Approximately 26 billion euro. So it's in two parts. One of it is the proposed restoration of tariffs that had been there in the past in response to previous two administrations, both which were paused. And then there's the second part, because the value of what they imposed in the steel and aluminium tariffs and associated products went beyond what was there previously.
Right.
So I know it's complicated, but the sum total of all of that is about 26 billion. But what they have now announced in the last couple of days brings the total value of EU exports that would be subject to additional tariffs to 380 billion euro, which
but
is about 70% of all EU exports.
The first round will be the response to the steel and aluminium. Is bourbon included in there? Because that's a big problem for us, isn't it? Because he's threatened 200% back on us. Think of our whiskey and our gin.
So no final decision has been made. It was included in the proposal that was published, but that was subject then to consultation with member states. And Ireland and a number of other countries made the case that the EU has a significant trade surplus in respect of alcohol compared with the United States, and they made the case that it doesn't make sense to have that in there because of the retribution that might come back to us.
So where does it stand then?
So a decision will be made most likely next week. So we published a proposal, we engage with the member states, and there will be a decision made next week on that first phase. In the meantime, we're going to commence the discussions today with the US administration. Let's see what happens. We hope that that will lead to genuinely meaningful discussions very quickly. And if that proceeds rapidly, then that can change the direction
right.
of travel. But in parallel with all of that, we have to prepare a broader response to what President Trump announced in the last couple of days.
Just on the discussions that are going to happen between Maris Sefcovic and Howard Lutnick. Howard Lutnick specifically has mentioned chicken and beef. Now, you're Commissioner for Consumer Protection. Can you ever see a scenario where we would welcome the sale of American chicken and beef in Europe?
I think when we get into discussion about individual product lines, that has to be done in the context of negotiations, but also has to recognise the standards that apply in each jurisdiction.
Because they use hormones on the beef and they wash the chicken in chlorine.
And what our requirements are. And the EU is a world leader in relation to food safety and product standards. We're not going to compromise those principles. We will, of course, in the context of substantive negotiations, have discussions on how we can make progress.
He's going to ask, though, because he said it on Fox News the night the tariffs were announced. He mentioned specifically, they won't take our lovely chicken and they won't take our beef. And he said that their beef is better than EU beef and he can't understand it. So you know he's going to put it on the table.
Absolutely. And we will, of course, have a discussion, but not at the expense of diluting the standards that we have within the European Union. Mm-hmm. And I'm not casting any aspersions on the standards anywhere else in the world. But we know that food quality, food standards, safety standards in the European Union are world leading, and that will continue into the future.
Now, there are two schools of thought on how you handle this, and you've touched on both. One is like we hold our nerve here. That we hold back. And the other one is that we fight, you know, that we respond with might. What's your sense of where this is going in the EU?
Well, my sense is based on the discussions I've had with President von der Leyen, with Commissioner Shefcovic, the open discussions we've had at the College of Commissioners. And it is represented in the statements that we have published and what we have said publicly. We want a negotiated solution. But that negotiated solution can best be achieved from our perspective when we enter those negotiations in a position of strength. Mm-hmm. So it is a twin tracks strategy. Yes, we want to negotiate, but we also have to prepare to respond. And the first phase of that will be the subject of discussion and possibly decision next week. In parallel, we are preparing then the broader response.
I just want to get a sense of how it's going to work. So we'll have the negotiations happening, but at the same time, we will have this response to the steel and aluminium tariff. So we will be matching him on that one, but talking to him, and there'll be a timeline on response to the broader tariffs he introduced this week.
Exactly. That's the position as of now. A lot can change in a matter of days, but that is where we are at this point in time. So we want to negotiate, but in parallel, we have to respond, and then we have to be prepared for a broader, deeper response in the event that negotiations fail. That said, we also have to continue then to diversify our trading relationships. The one obvious trend that we are seeing at the moment is more and more countries are looking to the EU as a place that they can enter agreements with, because they see us as stable, as trustworthy and predictable, as somewhere that honours commitments that are given. So if you compare us, for example, with the US, the EU has trade deals with 76 countries at this point in time, and we're negotiating many more. The US has trade deals with 20 countries. So we do trade really well within the European Union, and some people may not like that, but it is the lifeblood of our economy, and we will continue to trade with partners who are reliable, who respect the rules and the terms of engagement. So we will diversify our trading relationships, and we will also improve our single market, and we will tackle the competitiveness issues that we do face within the European economy. We need to support innovation. We need to close the productivity gap that is there with the US, with China. We need to do better at supporting startups and scale-ups. We need to embrace technology like AI. So there's much that we need to do, and this is right at the top of the Commission's agenda, and I'm playing my part in contributing to all of that ongoing work at the moment.
Do you, I mean, given what he said about the EU and those around him have said about the EU, do you think that this is part of the play, that what he wants to do is to cause disharmony within the bloc?
You know, I'm not going to speculate on any political motives. We have to deal with the reality and deal with the facts here. And when I look at the current relationship that we have, and tariffs is the issue du jour as such, it's the issue that he has honed in on. And when I look at the statistics, in 2023, for example, the US collected €7 billion in tariffs in respect of EU exports to the US. In the same year, the EU collected €3 billion in tariffs in respect of US exports to the EU. So does that look unbalanced to you in favour of Europe? The US has been collecting twice the value of tariffs in respect of EU exports as the other way around. And when you put that in the context of an overall trading relationship that is quite balanced, and where the United States is actually winning quite heavily in respect of services, we don't see the justification objectively for what is being done. The US clearly has a lot of issues in respect of global trade currently. The EU is not the problem. The EU is part of the solution, and we are allies. We are strategic partners. We are long-term friends, and we need to sit down and work this out.
We are now, though, but when things start getting really sticky and really tough, and his aim is to pull the EU asunder, are you concerned that some EU states might see start asking, well, do I have leeway here to do a bilateral deal with Donald Trump and the United States? And will that save our economic bacon?
Well, they don't on trade. And I think that's one of the great strengths of our current position, is that trade is an exclusive competence of the European Commission. And yes, we engage with member states. Member states have the final sign-off, though it is unprecedented for any trade defence measures that the Commission would propose to be blocked by member states. Mm-hmm. There's a really high bar. So the Commission is in the driving seat here. That's a good thing, because we're part of a bloc of 450 million people, 27 countries, the largest single market in the world, where each individual country be in a position where they had to negotiate with the United States, they would be in a much, much weaker position.
Yeah, but you saw
that is our strength.
What Eric Trump said, the first country to negotiate wins. Well, we're getting mixed messages on that, because Pete Navarro said there's no negotiation, so it's difficult to know what they mean. But, you know, Eric Trump is inviting countries to come and talk this out with the White House.
And countries can talk to the White House. Individual countries from within the European Union have their own bilateral relationships with the Trump administration. That is all fine and well. It doesn't change the fundamental truth here. Trade is dealt with at an EU level, and that is mm-hmm. a good thing, because there is strength in our
right.
collective
and
position.
From Ireland's point of view, given the agreement that we've reached with the OECD, do we have any lever to pull on our corporation tax?
Well, corporation tax is not part of the trade negotiations.
But we need to make sure we're as attractive as we possibly can be for these EU multinational, for these US multinationals who are going to be under huge pressure now to relocate.
Of course, and Ireland, and I'm obviously intimately familiar with this, embarked on a major programme of reform in relation to corporate tax. I brought through the legislation to implement the Pillar 2 of the BEPS OECD agreement. We have a 15% rate now for the very large in-scope companies. We've introduced major reforms. We're part of the international reform efforts globally in respect of corporate tax. So I think we've got a good story to tell within Ireland on that. And the European Union has also been centrally involved in bringing forward many of those reforms. But I really think, Claire, we have to bring it back to people who will be impacted by what is happening. So we can dismiss the stock market going down, but for many people, that's their pension, that's their life savings, it's the investments that they have made. All of these things have real life consequences. And if there's less trade being done, the viability of businesses is called into question. People can lose their jobs. So for businesses and for consumers and for workers, these are issues that can lead to very bad outcomes. Mm-hmm. We want to avoid that. And that's why we will have the discussions with the administration and hopefully come to a negotiated settlement. But there are no guarantees.
Well, those outcomes, you know, will be a reality for citizens in the United States as well. I mean, is it your hope that Donald Trump mightn't have tolerance for that, for the unpopularity that will follow if that happens to his voters?
Well, tariffs are taxes, and they're paid by somebody, and they're either paid by one of the parties in the supply chain, or more likely they're paid by the end consumer. That's what a tariff is. Mm-hmm. The tab has to be picked up by somebody. And when you look at the value of EU goods there, €380 billion, that will now be subject to these tariffs on entry into the United States, there's one inevitable consequence from that. US consumers will be paying more.
Yeah.
And at a time when the cost of living is already high,
and we have
is
to
rising
wait and
for
see
many.
Whether they'll put up with that, and whether he will be able to withstand that pressure that will ultimately come from those voters, right?
That's a reality.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
You know, this is not where any of us want to be. And that's why the sooner we get into to dialogue, we will be having dialogue with specific sectors next week, including the pharmaceutical sector at an EU level. And let's see what happens today in the talks. Okay.
We've no clue, do we, what he's going to do when it comes to pharma. Have you any information on that from the States?
We don't have any solid information, only what has been said. As you know, they've identified five strategic sectors: cars, metals, pharma, semiconductors, lumber. They've already confirmed a 25% tariff in respect of cars mm-hmm. and associated parts.
But there's nothing you can tell us on pharma
but
that
in
you
in relation
know.
To pharma,
right.
I think we heard President Trump last night say that was work that was continuing. Mm-hmm. So we certainly should not assume that we've heard the final word on pharma.
Okay.
It is part of the this overall mix
and listen,
is part of the overall issue that is yet to
know,
be fully resolved.
We're really worried about what might happen from a European point of view when it comes to the US tech giants operating from here. Because yesterday, France and Germany both said that they had a willingness to target them, to target the US tech companies. Now, that would be very bad news for Ireland. Are you urging them not to go there?
Well, firstly, I would say that unity is fundamentally important here. The unity of the European Union, that we act as a bloc, as a collective, and there will be lots of different ideas as to how best to respond to the current situation and the provocation from the US through the imposition of these tariffs. This is fundamentally a trade dispute at the moment, even though many other issues have been thrown into the mix over recent days and weeks. And the member states need to work with the European Commission. We are examining all of the options that we have. And I don't think that going into any really tough negotiation, you should publicly say we're ruling out A, B, C or D or E, because that's weakening your position.
But if the EU really wanted to go for Donald Trump here and hit him where it hurts, big tech is where you would go. But we don't want that to happen. Yeah. So how do we sell that message to France and Germany? And we know that there are colleagues in the EU who are very unhappy that those companies were operating here under the terms that they were for as long as they did.
Yeah, and the EU market is a very lucrative market for tech companies, US tech companies. They've done really well here. Many of them, of course, have their headquarters for Europe here in Ireland, but they also have operations elsewhere throughout the EU, and they're making an important economic contribution to the European Union as well. Many of them take issue with the nature of EU regulation, which we believe in the round is fair and is balanced. And the European Union will respond to the Trump administration specifically on the issues of trade that have been raised and to see if we can find a way forward. But in the final analysis, the totality of the EU-US relationship is relevant, is important, but our focus is on trade.
Okay.
And I don't think that we should be in the business of making public threats. We want to de-escalate. We need to get into dialogue and negotiations as soon as we possibly can. And that is the focus of the European Commission.
But Ireland does not want the EU to go after US big tech. That's the bottom line.
I completely understand that. And the EU has not said it's going after big tech.
But the big guys in the EU said it very clearly yesterday, you know, straight out of the blocks, France and Germany.
And different countries will put forward ideas and proposals that maybe suit their national interests. We sit in the European Commission where we have sight of all of Europe and we have to act as a collective. Mm-hmm. And we have to think about what is in the interests of the European Union in its totality.
Okay.
And that is what we will do. And that is why we're focused on the terms of trade.
What's your view on this problem we have now, north and south of the border, with the different tariff rate? 10% on whiskey in Northern Ireland, 20% in the Republic.
Well, I think we certainly shouldn't have any panicked reaction, because the Trade and Cooperation Agreement, the Windsor Framework, were hard won and very difficult negotiations. I think we're fortunate that Maroš Šefčovič is the Trade Commissioner, because he was intimately involved in the detail of negotiating those outcomes with the UK. And I don't believe there's any desire to reopen those fundamentally important agreements that underpin peace, but also ensure that Northern Ireland has a special place, essentially with access to the EU single market, while of course remaining part of the UK internal market. There are issues that arise from what has been announced so far and what may yet come.
Okay.
But until we have the full picture, we cannot do a complete analysis of that. But I think we shouldn't have any knee-jerk reaction and seek to reopen agreements that were really hard won and following quite difficult negotiations, as we know, over a very prolonged period of time.
Just a couple of other issues that are covered under your remit as commissioner. You have been cracking down on the safety of e-commerce products, unsafe and counterfeit goods from websites like Temu and Shein.
Yeah.
Why is that? They're very popular with some Irish consumers, particularly with young people.
They sure are. They're very popular all over Europe. About 12 million small parcels are coming into the European Union every single day. The overwhelming majority are coming from China. It's part of the world in which we live in. More and more commerce is done online. The issue is that we have to ensure that EU product safety standards, which are world-leading, must be respected in all cases. We have to ensure that EU consumer protection laws are fully respected. And so that is why there are different actions underway at consumer protection level in relation to Shein and Temu, but also in relation to other online providers. So they deal with various issues and possible breaches of EU legislation that potentially result in consumers being treated unfairly.
So what do you think should happen? Do they need to lift their standards or should they be banned?
Well, compliance with our product safety standards is not optional. And you would have seen here in Ireland only in recent weeks, the CCPC, our own competition consumer protection body, issued a warning and a recall order in relation to baby soothers, Dodos, that they said were unsafe. So I'll be visiting a laboratory next week that is doing much of the product safety testing. We cannot have a situation where products are coming in that are simply unsafe, that are putting people in jeopardy and putting lives at risk.
How do you stop them though?
We stop it in a number of ways. We stop it through product safety sweeps that we're going to be doing online now, for example, where we will be anonymously scraping the internet. We will be examining products, checking product safety standards. We also do it by stepping up our bilateral cooperation and work with the Chinese authorities, with the platforms themselves also. And we also do so by using the tools we have through the Digital Services Act, but also through the Consumer Protection Cooperation Network. So it's a shared responsibility on consumer protection at the moment. Most of the work is done at member state level, but is coordinated throughout the European
Union.
Maybe
you could take a leaf from Donald Trump's book here, because he is closing the de minimis loophole. So that'll make it really expensive to send packages under a certain value. Is there a nugget of a good idea there?
Well, we issued an e-commerce communication back in February that looks at the totality of issues involved here. Customs is relevant, safety is, competition policy, level playing field, consumer protection. All of these issues are relevant, and it does involve examining issues around customs duty, the threshold of €150 that's currently there. All of those issues are being looked at at the moment.
So when my daughters are ordering slime from Temu, they'll have to pay a big levy on it. Is that what we're saying?
There's no decision made, but it is a factor that does need to be considered.
Mm. Okay. You also mentioned during your confirmation hearing that you were concerned about aggressive marketing methods. You also talked about addressing marketing by social media influencers. What's your issue there?
Yeah, so the issue is transparency. Social media influencers have an important role to play. It's legitimate commercial activity, but it should be seen for what it is. And consumers should know that where content is commercially sponsored, that it is so.
But we have and rules that around is, that here.
There are in Ireland, but across the European Union, such rules do not exist everywhere. So one of the new proposals I will be bringing forward is a Digital Fairness Act, which is about protecting consumers in the online space, because the vast majority of the consumer protection laws we have at the moment were not designed for the digital space. So when it comes to addictive design, using personalization of your data, the role of social media influencers, or the example I often give is about subscriptions. We know it's very easy to sign up to subscriptions.
It can be
damn hard to get out of them. It should be just as easy to click one button to end as it is to sign up. And we see a lot of automatic rolling over of subscriptions without your consent.
Right.
So there are issues
on social media,
and I'll be bringing forward
influencers,
a proposal.
You could be subject to EU regulation if you're an influencer at some point in the future. Is that what you're suggesting?
So EU legislation could be introduced that then would have to be transposed to national law. It's generally done on the basis of minimum standards. So there will be some countries that are already at that level, and therefore the EU law may not involve any additional obligations if they have already achieved that level of protection.
Right.
But for other countries, they wouldn't be there. And so the EU law would raise the standard.
OK, we'll leave it there for now. Commissioner, thank you for coming in. That's Commissioner Michael McGrath.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.